Joshua is at an important point in his life and the life of the nation. They're on the verge of going in to the promised land, the land that God had promised to give them as inheritance. Moses, their great leader, who had led them under God's guidance across the desert, had died. And God was calling Moses now to take the people in, under his direction, into their inheritance. It's an important point in his life and in the life of the people. I don't think I'm over dramatizing things or emphasizing things when I feel that we too are at an important point. We're on the verge of a new chapter in the life, the long life and history of this church. We thank God for all those who have gone before and have brought the church to this point under God's help. But now we're on the verge of a new ministry. And I think we can take lessons from this point in the history of Israel and apply them to ourselves, because although situations change dramatically, there are some things that don't change. And God doesn't change. And really, people's hearts don't change all that much. And what God says to Joshua, I think we can apply that to ourselves. Joshua was standing on the verge of this crossing over into Israel. And he's apprehensive. He's a bit scared. He's a bit nervous. And the thing is, God knows how he feels, which is wonderful. And I don't know how you feel this morning, but one thing is for sure, God knows how you feel. He knows your heart. He knows everything there is to know about you. He knows everything there is to know about me. He knows that, and he would come to us as he came to him. And he would seek to encourage him, but also to advise him. And I want to think about that this morning, the advice that he gave to Joshua, and just bring out two very brief points. The advice he gave to him, we find in verse 8. Here you are, Joshua, you're going into the land. You don't know what's before you, but the best advice I can give you is this. Verse 8. Joshua, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will make your way prosperous and successful. In other words, if you follow this book, you will make good progress. If you follow this book, you will go in and you will inherit the blessings that I have for you in future days. The key thing is, Joshua, remember the book of the law. Don't depart from it. Don't go to the left. Don't go to the right. Don't try and explain it away. Just meditate on the truths of Scripture. Then you will make good progress. Then you will be successful. I've got two things that perhaps God really wanted him to grasp at this point. As Joshua looked into the book of the law, and he only had the first five books at this point in time, the books of the law, the first five books of our Bible. But the information in those five books, the instructions are very, very clear. And here's the one instruction that God kept on saying all the time to his people in these first five books. And I suggest that that's what he wants us to get hold of too. And here's the first thing. Never forget who you are. Joshua, never forget that you're an Israelite. Never forget that you are my child. You belong to me. Never forget that you are a member of the family of God. Every day of your life, remember that. Meditate upon it, what it means to be a child of God. And be thankful. God was so keen that his people would never forget who they were, that he gave them a great feast. It was called the Passover feast. And during the Passover feast, they remembered that they were once slaves. But God reached out and he brought them out of slavery. He made them his very own people. And he provided for them all the days of their journeying until they reach their home in the promised land. And God says to Joshua, never forget who you are. Never forget what I've done for you. Think about it. Meditate upon it all the days of your life. And I'm sure that if we remembered more our status, that we are children of God, it would affect our lives more and more. If we dwelt on this fact that God has rescued me from slavery, he has reached out and brought me out of the bondage into the glorious liberty of being a child of God, it would affect the way I live. It would affect my outlook. It would affect my priorities. It would affect every part of life. And if I dwelt on it more and more, it would have this effect upon me, that it would make me more thankful. See, the children of Israel, they witnessed this tremendous salvation, but they lost sight of it. They started to see the difficulties, the problems of being an Israelite. They started to moan and groan and complain. And some of them even thought to themselves, we'd been better off if we'd stayed in Egypt. Let's go back. You see, human nature doesn't change too much, does it? God can do something remarkable, something glorious for us. And he has in the person of his own Son, Jesus Christ. He gave him so that we could know what it is to belong to God. We who were nobodies, who couldn't do anything about bridging that gap between us and God, God intervened and he saved us and made us his own. It's the most wonderful message. It's the most glorious truth. And God wants us to remember that, but we forget it. And we see this problem and we see that difficulty and we start moaning and groaning and complaining. And have we ever thought, I'll give up? Have we? As we are on the verge of the future and going forward into a new period of the history of this church. God wants us to be a people who value our salvation. A people who are thankful. A people who come to Him and He has given to us this precious remembrance table where we come back constantly and are reminded of what He has done for us. And why has He given us this? Just to give us another regulation? No, He has given us this because He knows that we are prone to forget, and He wants us to ever come back to the cross. That our Savior gave His life for us. That God so loved us that He gave us His Son, and He wants us now to love Him wholeheartedly, to be fully committed to Him, to stay near to Him, and to remember. You know that old hymn, Beneath the Cross of Jesus, I fain would take my stand, the shadow of a mighty rock within a weary land, content to let the world go by. To know no gain or loss, my sinful self, my only shame, my glory, all the cross. First thing, He wanted Joshua to remember who he was, to remember his status as a child of God. And the second thing is this, He wanted Joshua to realize what God expected of him now that he was a child of God. He wanted Joshua's life to reflect his status. I am a child of God. I belong to Him. He has saved me. He has rescued me from Egypt. I want to show by my very life now that I'm His child. I want to walk worthy of my calling. Time and time again, God told His people in these first five books, now listen, remember who you are. And remember what I expect from you. I want you to be different. You're going to be going into this land. And in fact, before you get the land, as you've crossed the desert, you've had these people on the left hand. You've had these people on the right hand. They're against you. But I want you to keep firmly to my law. And they will be doing things that are contrary to your law. But I want you to be meditating on what I've told you. And their standards are not going to be your standards, Joshua. You can be sure of that. They'll be doing things that you're appalled at. Don't entertain those things at all. You keep going straight. Don't go to the left or to the right. You just be true to the word. And it's going to be tough, Joshua. Everybody likes to be one of the crowd, but I'm calling you to be separate and different. God was so keen on them getting hold of this point that He gave them another feast, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And in that feast, God was telling them, look, put away the things that don't really become you as Israelites. I want you to be pure. I want you to be holy. And for us too, the message is the same. Listen to these words from 1 Corinthians 5. Get rid of the old yeast, the old leaven, that you may be a new batch without yeast, as you really are. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us keep the festival, not with the old yeast, the yeast of malice and wickedness, but with bread without yeast, the bread of sincerity and truth. Oh, Joshua, I want you to be different. I want you to be separate. I want you to be holy. I want you to be sincere and truthful. This is what becomes a child of God. And as we go forward, we need to know who we are, what God has done for us, and we need to know what God expects from us. And it is a challenge. I find it a challenge really every day of my life. It's hard being different. It's hard having a different standard when everybody else says, don't be ridiculous. Nobody thinks like that anymore. Everybody's doing it. Why is it wrong? It's hard. But we are God's people. And God wants us to be different. Not different in the wrong sense. We can make a rod for our own back sometimes. But when we seek to live according to God's word, to let his word be our standard, God will bless us, he says. And see, I hope, and I close with this, I hope we are not putting all the emphasis on a new minister. A new minister is crucial and he's important, or she's important, whatever. But the new minister isn't the answer. God is the answer. And it's when he has a people who own him as their God and who live lives pleasing to their God, that's the answer. And when we do that, we have the promise of God, then you will make great progress and you will be successful. May the Lord give us great determination to be the people that we should be. And let us really pray for this new minister. Pray that God will, through them and us, as we together serve him, that we will see great things. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth, but meditate upon it. Then you will make great progress. Then you will be successful. Now let's sing our closing hymn. And our closing hymn is, O Word of God Incarnate. It's number 527, and we'll